pastor, a lot of folks, a lot of times, you know, you think, well, evangelist, I'll get in here and we'll run here all day and I'll do this all day. I'm not an isolationist. I enjoy sweet fellowship when I feel like it physically. But my health won't let me just run all day and do what I'd like to sometimes, or stay up half the night and drink coffee and eat the holes out of donuts. I can't do that. Now, don't get angry at me, and you don't say I'm an isolationist or antisocial. That's not me. I just have to, when I preach at night, now tonight when I get through, I'm going to the motel, and 15 minutes later, I'll be in the bed, amen? Because I've got to get up in the morning and got about 6 hours of driving ahead of me, so if you want to say anything now, after service, you better say it then, because I'll be snoring in a little while, amen? And so, I appreciate you, I really do, but don't get mad at me, because I physically, 39 years on the road, I'm wore out, but God knows about that, so don't be a powder and go around mad when one of these days somebody will drop you on your head and you'll come to your senses, amen? Amen. Now, before I begin the message tonight, I'm going to be preaching from Matthew chapter 15. Before I begin, I want to say some things to kind of lay the groundwork. I'm going to cross some of your lines tonight. I know that. I mean, I know that. I'm aware of that. I'll cross some things that you're not going to agree with me. I mean, I'm aware of that. That's your privilege and your prerogative. I can't help it if I'm right and you're wrong, but I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I have no intention of trying to be a smart aleck. I've been in the ministry soon be 40 years now. That don't mean I know everything. That don't mean I'm the smartest man. That don't mean I'm the best preacher. But God showed me some things in the ministry these many years I've been here. And I praise him and thank him for it. But tonight when I get through, and it's just every time I preach this message, I've never had it to fail yet, but I'll have somebody to walk up. Every time I've done it, and if it don't happen tonight, it'll be a rare exception. I had a man the last time I preached, he said, I'll mark her down, I'll never listen to you preach again. And in my file, I'm not going to tell you their name, many of them good men, they just got some hang-ups. I had 12 revivals canceled 1 year on the account of this message. Men wrote me letters and said, I'll never have you again, you're a compromiser. And I won't listen to you preach no more. I had one committee drive 200 miles, the church committee, the pastor, with a tape in their hand of this message and held it out and said, did you preach this? I said, is that my voice on that tape? They said, yes. I said, I preached it. I'm preaching. And they canceled that meeting. Now, I have to keep very strict records for Uncle Sam about my income. And I have to keep records of all of my income. And that's the truth when I say all of it. I keep records of all of it. Amen. I believe in rendering unto Caesar the thing that belongs to Caesar. And unto God, the things that belong to God. Amen? And if you pay your tax and don't pay your tithe, you're a cheat and a swindler. You say, I don't like you. Get in line. There's a bunch of folks don't like me. Amen? But you're not going to, some of you, you'll be going along real good, and then I'll hit your toy, and you'll back up on me. Now, young preachers, don't be a reputation seeker. Don't just run around here trying to get a reputation of being a hard preacher. I mean that. Don't try that. Just preach the Word of God. If you preach loud, preach the Word of God loud. If you can stand in your tracks and preach the Word of God, just stand in your tracks and preach the Word of God. Don't be a glory seeker. Don't do that. But just stand up and preach the Word of God. That's all God calls you to do anyhow. And after you've done that, don't add your 2 cents worth for it. A 2 cents not worth much anyhow. And don't go around trying to put another notch on your gun. Don't do that. But tonight, stay with me. Some of it will sound strange. Some of it will hit right in your front yard. But just stay with me till it's finished. I started to tell you, I have to keep records on my income. And the year I started preaching this message, the next preceding 12 months, my income dropped 40%. 40%. Now imagine that. How would you like to have 40% took out of your paycheck? Now I got news for you. A lot of beans and taters. Amen? And then warm them up for supper. And look at them pretty good for breakfast. Amen? So this message, when it's over, you may not want to shake hands with me. You may not want your children to shake hands with me. But that'll be all right. That'll just be fine. Now, I want you to read carefully with me from Matthew 15, beginning in verse 1. And if you remember last night, I told you to pray for me. I'd probably preach this to pray that God would be... I knew it. I got up this morning. I have sinus trouble, and I've had an old drainage down the back of my throat. And my throat's as raw as... If you'd have stuck a torch down it, so I'm going to have to fight that as I preach the message tonight. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. This is the elite. This is the religious elite. This is, I mean, the Mr. Hobnobbers. Amen? This is the big boys of religion. Did you get what I said? I said of religion. You're not getting it. I said of religion. Saying, why do thy disciples transgress thee? Say it out loud. What? Traditions. Never said nothing about God's Bible. Traditions. You can have traditions of all kinds. Amen? I mean, you can have more and our churches are eat up with them. I mean, literally eat up with them. I mean, they're eat up. Amen? There's churches. Now, get what I'm about to say. I have pastors to call me for revival. And I said, well, the only thing I can do is just book you the next available day. Oh, no. We always have our meeting on the first week in August. As though that's the only time God can meet with them. That's nothing in the world but stupid tradition. Now, I've already lost two or three of you, haven't I? Now, that's silly. They were mad because their traditions had been stepped on. Amen? All right. The traditions of the elders, papos, for they, now here's what their big hang-up was. This was it. Now, if you go back in the traditions, there was a ceremonious way that they washed their hands. They had to take their hand, their right hand first, like this, and they'd take this hand, and they'd wash seven times that way. They had to wash that way, because if they washed back this way, they'd wash their sins back on. I used to pastor that crowd. Seven times. And then they took that hand and washed this hand. Seven times. Now, if they messed up, they'd start all back over again. Amen? And then when they got through, they got a blessed cloth. Earnest. Now, I'm going to take my time. Just stay with me now. All right. Now, they said... We are mad because they didn't wash their hands. All right? They washed not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered. Jesus answered. And said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God? Amen. By your traditions. Now don't miss that. He said, you've took your stinking traditions and transgressed the commandments of God.
Yes.
All right. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thou hast thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. Now notice here he's getting down to where the rubber meets the road. Ye hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is, don't you? Somebody pretending to be something they're not. Ye hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy you saying? Old Isaiah cut loose on them, and Jesus took up the scripture and began to quote it to them. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now here we are. But in vain they do worship me. Here it is, folks, in verse 9. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. He said they've taken man's commandments and made doctrines out of them. They have taken what man said and have made doctrines out of them. Now, Paul said, if you recall, and I'm sure you will, and I believe it was a painful admission, Paul said, looking back and reflecting back on his life before, he said, I was a Pharisee. You remember him admitting that? I don't believe that brought him any joy. I don't believe that brought him any joy at all. But may I say to you here tonight, and it don't bring any joy to me, I, one time in my life, being raised up under preachers, had turned into a Pharisee myself. I measured everybody a lot of times by my own personal opinion. Now, my dear friend tonight, it's not your job and mine to try to make man live right. The only job God gave us to preach the Word of God, to get men in, to preach them and teach them and learn them. But you cannot make that man live for God. Amen. So many preachers today think it's their job. Have you ever heard this? Now, bless God, you'll do this, or you'll do that, or you'll hear from me about it. Now, preacher, let me say this to you. That's not your place. Amen. I heard a young preacher say to me one time, I'm going to my church and I'm going to make me some rules. I'm going to say something to you, preacher. When you have to step outside this Bible to make some rules, to make a man live right, you put the Word of God to open shame. Amen. I believe this Bible's got everything that we need in it. Amen. Now listen, isn't it sad when you said, boy, I got an old member back there, and I got to take care of him, and I'm going to step out here and I'm going to make me some rules to deal with that turkey. You've got all you need right in there to deal with him. That'll take care of him. God said just to preach that, amen? And so here's what you need. And preacher, listen, this is your sword. This is what God's give you to do the work with. Don't step outside of that and said, I'll handle him my way. God said, handle him his way. Amen. 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 Now, let me show you where we're at. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's something that scares me, and that's super saints. They scare me to death. Honest, I mean that. That holier-than-thou crowd. At our very best, we're all together just a bunch of old sinners saved by grace. It don't make no difference what you say. Look how good I am. The Bible said we all, like sheep, have gone astray. You did hear that word all, didn't you? Dr. Bill Goosby said he done a word study on that word all one time to find out what it means. And he said it means all. We've all sinned and come short. Preachers, it may come as a shock to you, but that means us too. Hello? All of us at our very best. There's none righteous. No, not one. Amen. We all like sheep have gone astray. Every man is a one. And now, folks, listen to me right now. And you hear this, and a lot of times all we see in this is just Jesus taking off after one bunch of people for one thing. Did you know what? You remember that crowd that brought that old girl in adultery? Taken in the very act. And the only thing you can see in that is an act of adultery, which is always bad. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the sand. And my dear friend, he made this statement. He that among you is without sin, let him first cast the stone. Amen? Wasn't a rock thrown. That'll still work today. Amen? Amen. But we've got to a little place in our life that we set ourselves up as judge and jury. Amen? Got no right to do that. Now, I'm going to deal with something. I'm not into the message yet. I'm just making some comments. Did you know this preacher right here? My wife and I almost lost our daughters. That scares me to death. I mean that. How many times has my wife and I said, now, you can't do that because you're a preacher's daughter. Now, that may sound real religious, but I'm going to tell you right now, no child should have to be made to live to suit you. Amen? No child should have to live one day to please you. Every child ought to be taught to live to please him. Amen? Nobody. And you say, well, now, Brother Lee, wait just a minute. I do so-and-so, but I'm afraid so-and-so would see me. It's not so-and-so you need to worry about. It's God you need to think about. Amen? Amen. Now, let me say this, and it's not shaking me up a bit. I heard this said just the other day by a man. Now, think about it. You may not want to holler amen because it will reveal you. He said, boy, you know I really like baseball. And by the way, I do too. He said, I'm really crazy about baseball. He said, you know, I'd go to see the Braves. Now watch this real close. I'd go watch the Braves. But he said, just as sure as I did, they'd turn one of them cameras around on me. And he said, everybody'd see me. Now I'm going to let you laugh. What are you laughing about? See, that man was more afraid of you seeing him than he was God. He said, I don't care if God sees me. I'm afraid of public opinion. Do you know there are some of you that are living the way you're living not to please God? I said the other night, some of you probably have got your cigarettes under the seat of the car. You're not afraid of God. You're scared of people. You want to be a good, you want to look just right. You don't want to do anything that will, you know, make you think bad of me. Amen. And how many times I've said to my daughters, you can't do this. I mean, I wouldn't let them do nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you something, daddies and mamas. There's places you must say no to your children. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're just children. And they ought to be able to play and have a good time. When you say, no, you can't do this, you ought to find something they can do. Amen? Amen? I saw a little boy get a whipping one day, and I had to turn and walk off, or so help me God, I had to give his daddy a knuckle sandwich. Now, don't you young preachers look at me hard. Fool me, I'll box your jaw. This little old boy, me and this preacher standing out in the yard talking, and a little old boy took up a broomstick, preacher, just a little broomstick that broke out, and picked him up a gravel, just a gravel. How many times I've done it? And he threw it up in the air and hit it with that broomstick. And his daddy whipped him. Said, I'll tell you right now, don't you let me see you do that again. You're not going to turn into a sports nut. Now, I want to tell you, Daddy, if that's how crazy you are, I'm going to tell you right now, somebody ought to take and just about kick you a five mile down the road. Amen? Amen? That little old boy was just being a little boy. Amen? And that was silly. And his daddy whipped him and made him throw the broomstick away. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know what that daddy come out looking like to me? A silly Pharisee. And legalism is eating us up. Trying to make, boy, you want this and don't you do that. And you can't do this and you can't do the other. Let me say this to you. I was down in Alabama in a revival meeting. Never will forget it. And there was a woman that I've known, her family, known her boys ever since he was smaller than your boy there. And he had growed up, the boy had, and was way out in the world. And I wasn't there that day, but I was in a revival down there. And this mother said to her son one day on Mother's Day, honey, go to church with me today. I'd like for you to sit with me like you used to as a little boy. And he said, okay, Mama. And they went to church together, him and his mama. And they sat down together, about four or five pews back. And he put his arm around his mother. And this kid of a boy, this big old boy. Now, look, I'm going to look at you. I ain't going to turn around. I'm going to look right at you. This boy had way hair, way down here, and had it in a pony's tail. And he sat down with his mama. And the preacher happened to look back and see him, and I know the preacher personally. The preacher looked back and saw him and made the choir quit singing. Said, shut up. And he walked down to where the boy was sitting with his mama and said, man, you get out of here. You can't sit in my church till you get a haircut. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That may sound good to you, but that's stupid. Well, you said that preacher had some standards. He never had no Bible standard. Jesus Christ went to have dinner with sinners. Amen. Well, you said that preacher's rough and tough. No, he's stupid and silly. But you said, I don't believe in long hair. I don't either. I believe a man ought to look like a man. But I'm going to tell you right now, a preacher ought to have some sense. The Bible said it's a sick that needs a physician. Let me say this to you right now. And some of you preachers are hung up on this. You said, preacher, we don't allow women to wear slacks in our church. I believe women ought to dress and dresses look like ladies. But let me say this to you right now. If a woman wants to come in that's not saved and don't know Jesus, and if she's got a pair of slacks on, don't run her off, treat her right, and you might win her to God. Buddy, you said, I've got my standards. I don't believe in that. I could shine a flashlight in this ear and see a beam on the other side. Silly moron. I know the church. By the way, this boy that this preacher run off looked down at his mama and said, Mama, I'll never be in church again as long as I live. He embarrassed him. He made a public example out of him. Now, did you know that silly church backed their preacher up here? Now, folks, I don't know what kind of a hotshot religionist you are, but God is not for something like that. I know of a woman where the church was out visiting one Saturday, And I remember as well, they visited and a lady was just moving in. Just moving in. And they went to see her and said, "We're from such and such a church, and we want to invite you to church." She said, "I'm so grateful. I'm just so grateful." And the next Sunday morning, she came in, and she had a pair of slacks on. Somebody went and told the preacher, and he told his wife to take her back in the vestibule, in the study. And his wife went and got her and took her back in the study. And the preacher told her, "We don't allow women in slack shirt. You'll have to leave." She said, "You mean to tell me I can't come to church?" "No," said, "you've got to leave." Never asked her whether she's saved. Never found out a thing about her, but literally run her off. Now, don't you stand there and talk to me about your silly standards. Jesus Christ would have welcomed her.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, while I'm right there, let me tell you something else. Let me lay something before you. Let's say come Sunday morning, a long, shaggy-haired boy, never been saved, don't know Jesus, and his wife, she comes in, maybe got a pair of slacks on, maybe not dressed like they ought to be, and they come in there Sunday morning, sit down. All of a sudden, the preacher preaches and the power of God hits them. The Holy Ghost brings them under conviction. They've never been to church in their life, don't know much about it. Down the aisle, both of them comes. Gets born again. Hallelujah. Amen. Their faces shining, a testimony. Just little old bitty babies. They leave that night and come back same way. I'm watching, you see.
Well, you said, "Bless God. If they'd have got saved, that, buddy, I'm going to tell you right now. Buddy. Buddy, if they'd have got saved, I tell you right now, they'd have come back there.
Why don't you just shut up? Does a baby walk the day it's born? It's a baby. Does it talk? No, it don't know how. It can't walk. It can't talk. Here's somebody that just got saved. They don't know all about the Bible. You say, "Well, what if they come back Wednesday night like that?" Start preaching to them. Start loving them. Start training them. After a while, they're going to look around and say, "Boy, we're the only ones dressed like this."
Amen.
Amen.
You say, "Boy, I believe I'll get me a haircut."
Hello? Amen? That old girl said, "Lord God, I'm the only one here that slacks on her." Whoa. Hello?
Well, you said, "I'm such a Christian. If she come like that, I wouldn't have anything to do with her." Oh, God, you must be so bright somebody's put a tub over your head so the rest of the world go to sleep. You're really a hot shot, ain't you? Well, really, you're not hot shot. You're just cold boogers. Amen. There's about four or five here getting as mad as a devil.
Lord willing, I'll be here when your temperature dies down. Now, this is what preachers are turning against me for. See, here's what they've done. They've kept their church in the line with a whip instead of some love. Now, the liberty that God gives us is not a license to do wrong. I believe every man ought to do right. I'm not saying a man's got a right to do wrong. He's not. But, brother, we've got a responsibility to one to another, to love one another and try to help one another instead of judging one another. And there'll be some of you that'll turn against me tonight. I done picked out four or five of you. But that's all right, brother. That's perfectly all right. I'd rather pick up Coke cans by the side of the road as to compromise to get your favor. I mean that. I mean that. Now, you better see if he's got a long enough tape. I'm going to be here a while. It's 7:30. Preachers, don't run out here somewhere and try to prove how tough you are. Don't spout off a bunch of things you can't back up with the Word of God. One of these days, you're going to spout off and somebody's going to ask you to prove that junk. I mean, they're going to make you prove how stupid you are. So when you say something, you better be sure you can back it up, hoss. Amen? And don't back it up with what I think, how I feel, or what's so on. You better have the Word of God to back it up with. Amen? And let me say this to you, preacher. If you can't preach with compassion to sinners, don't preach. He said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. For God so loved the world. I don't mean you're compromising. I don't mean you're letting down your Bible convictions. That means you're saying God said it and that settles it. Amen? You don't have to back up. Now then, since I've come this far, I want to go on with the message now. And I want to, now listen to me. I'm going to name some things. And when I name them, you may know the man that's got this hang up. I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm not going to say one ugly thing about him. He's God's man. I don't want to touch him. I just want to... But I'm saying, you're going to see how silly we've got. We have literally come down to stupidity. Now, don't ask me who they are. I won't tell you. I've got documented facts on the things that I'm going to mention here, with the exception of one. One of them that I can't document is here in North Carolina. And I'll quote what the man, what he said on a tape. Now, I don't know him well enough to know it was him, but I know it was said. But anyway, I want to share some things with you, how Pharisaic and legalistic we've got. Now, I want you to look up here at me. Just look up here at me just a minute. And look at, maybe painful, but look at my face right here. Maybe young children can't take it, but... I'm going to see if I can maybe just pick out the one or two. Son, would you come here and stand right there, please, sir? Right there. No, this fellow here, right there. Come on, son. Let's see. I want you to stand here. Let's see if I can pick out any more. Well, let's see. For the time being, I don't see any more. There may be. Huh? Yeah, preacher, come here. Right here. There's another two. Stand right here with me. Now, these are fine young men. They're preachers. And they got the book in their hand, the King James Version. Amen. Thank God for that. But there's three men standing here right now. I know where there's a church, and I can document what I'm saying. I can absolutely prove what I'm saying. That it don't make no difference how saved we are and how called we are, how God's got his hand on us and how souls are being saved. We can't preach in that church. It's a Baptist church. It's an independent Baptist church. But we can neither one of us preach in that church. Now, some of you that have heard me preach this message before, you'll know why. But some of you do not know why these men can't preach. Take your glasses off, son. Hold them up. Now, that's why he can't preach. Now, not because he wears glasses, but because, like me, he's got wire rims around him. They won't let him preach because his glasses has wire rims. And he can't preach either. And I can't preach either. My glasses have wire rims. You say, well, hurt for why? They said, hippie. You will say that. That would puke a hound off a gut wagon. In heaven's name, what has wire rims got to do with preaching the Word of God? But we can't preach. Now then, let's say that man didn't know I had glasses on, had wire rims. That man right now is my enemy. I didn't ask him to be. I love him. I pray for him. But honestly, honest, is my enemy. I don't want him to be, but he is. Sends some awful ugly things. And I'm not. Thought I would hurt him for nothing. He's God's man. But that's silly. That's downright silly. Now, let's say he didn't know I had wire-rim glasses and I went to him for revival. He would cancel the first night of the meeting till he had the chance to take me down and get me some glasses with plastic rims on them. And then he'd let me preach. Amen. Now then, you say, well, Brother Blue, I do agree with him. Well, I can't help if you do. You haven't got a leg to stand on. Amen. Now, I know the church. Now, watch me close. I know some of you can't see me. I know a church that if the cuff of your trousers exceeds so, well, I think they say that maybe 10 inches, if it's over that width, you're not allowed to preach. I know it's referred to, I think, as bell bottoms. They won't let you preach if the cuff of your trousers is so wide. Now, folks, you're smiling at me, but God knows I can prove what I'm saying. I've got absolutely documented facts on what I'm preaching. Folks, we better get away from this legalistic junk and begin to love a dying world and preach Jesus to them and quit looking at the cuff of their trousers. Amen. Now, come up here, Pastor. I wish I was as young and good-looking as him. I love this young man. I mean that. But I know of another church where he would be the biggest insult to that church tonight. They wouldn't care what a great preacher he was. They won't let him preach. Now, I'm going to tell you why. It's the way he's dressed. His tie's red. Of course, I couldn't preach either. And he's got a little duck right there. I like it. I just wish I had that size that fit me. But I know of a church where the only way a preacher can preach, he's got to have a black suit and a white shirt and black shoes and he's got to have on black socks. They won't let him preach otherwise. This pastor could not preach. They would disregard altogether the church act, for they won't let you teach Sunday school or hold any office if you own or ride a motorcycle. Now, you actually are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Like, how, is that preacher telling the truth? I'm telling the truth. And you ain't heard nothing yet. Amen. Now notice, let me look around just a little bit. All right. I know of a church where the three of the ladies walk around with a hairbrush in their hand. A little hairbrush stuck in their purse or pocket. And if they see a lady like this young lady here with her hair, ear exposed just a little bit, they'll take a brush and pull the hair down over her. And they'd have to use a brush on you. And you too, darling. I see your ear. Can you imagine? This little girl just pulled her hair down. Now, my wife is real particular about her hair. In other words, if you're ever around my wife, don't walk up and say, "Ooh, your hair is nice." I wouldn't take her to that church for nothing in this world. She'd box somebody's jaws and show the world. Now, you said, Brother Blue, is that right? I'm not telling you a story. I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to tell you these things to show you where we've got. This is where we're at. We're trying to make folks kind of look like what we want. And God said in 1 Samuel, God looks on, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Amen. Amen. That's where God looks at. Now, let's go on. Now, I was in a revival some years ago.
I never will forget it, and I was preaching, just a preaching up a storm. And after the service was over, I thought something was wrong with the pastor. He's sitting over here, looked like death riding the bicycle. And I just a preaching up a storm. And after service, he said, I want to see you in my study. Well, I said, all right, brother. I knew the fat was in the fire. I didn't know what. And I got in there. He said, how dare you? How dare you? I said, I just dare. He said, I felt like getting up and telling you to shut up. I said, you did? Yes. All my children had to sit through that. Oh, I said, that's bad, wasn't it? But then, see, I was about to reach my boiling point. And I said, preacher, what are you talking about? He said, your obscene gestures. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, since I begin to tell this part of the story, have I offended anybody? Have I offended you, lady? Honey, have I offended you? Mother, have I offended you? Well, you said, I don't know. Well, I've already done, I counted, I've done it 7 times since I've been telling it. And you was looking right at me, what he was offended about. He called what I was doing obscene. He said it's an obscene gesture. How many of you saw me do something obscene? How many of you saw me do what I'm talking about? Anybody catch it? Now, here's what I was doing that he was angry about. I was pushing my glasses up. I said, what in heaven's name is wrong with you? Well, he said, that obscene gesture. I said, hey, Dumbo, I'm just pushing my glasses up. But he said, you're pushing up with the wrong finger. Well, I said, you want to know why I'm pushing them up? I said, my nose is sweaty and they slide down. Now, if I told you who that preacher of is, a great number of you know him personally. I saw his name in some of your Bibles. How you like them apples? You'll be all right with him till you push your glasses up. Folks, we've come into the land of silly. Preachers trying their dead level best to trim folks up and make them look like they want them to look like. But you love them and preach to them and try to help them and let God make their lives what he wants it to be. The Bible said, and the love of Christ constrains me. Don't try to make somebody live right. Preach to them and love them. Well, you said, I've got to have some rules. You got it right here. If that ain't enough, we better quit. Amen. Now let me go on. Oh, glory to God. Now, you've heard me tell this, and I still ain't got it figured out yet. Maybe I'm wrong on the car. How many of you know my brother Bobby? He's not near as good looking as I am. Bobby and Peggy, his wife, went out one day. They were going to have trade cars. And they're just looking. Old Bobby slamming doors and kicking tires, you know. And a preacher come up, and they stand there looking at a car. And this feller knowed Bobby and said, hey, Bob, what you doing? Bob said, you got to buy me a car. And he said, you ain't going to buy that one, are you? Well, Bob said, don't know. Oh, said, you can't buy that one. Bob said, why? Said, whirly. Bob said, It is. Yeah, I said, carnal, worldly. Bob said, how? Said, why, it's a Camaro. And he took old Bob by the arm and laid him off out there, and Bob looked back, and his wife Peggy was back there saying, Camaro. 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 Trying to figure out what was worldly about Camaro. Wonder how they'd have said Mustang. Back in my days, they'd have said Tarot Plane. Hutmobile. Now, here's the one I cannot verify. Heard it on tape. A man preaching against taking tums. Now, wait a minute. That's not the silly part. That crowd was saying amen to it. Now, if he'll eat some of the places I eat, he'll buy tums by the wheelbarrow load. Now, I know the church. I know where it's at. Know the pastor. Saw him the other day. I'm just as nice to him as I can be. But let's say, for instance, let me look around just a little bit again now. Let me see. Oh, yes. I know a church where the pastor's wife walks along the back of the building while the congregation's seated. And in her purse or pocket, she's got a little tape measure. Just a little tape measure. You know, when you pull out a little case. And she'll look around, and if she sees anybody sitting closer than 8 inches, she'll go over and stick the rule in between them and say, we'll just scoot over just a little bit. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Me and Mama don't get to go to church much together. Me and Mama don't get to go to church much together. But I'm going to tell you something, hotshot. When me and Mama gets to go to church, I like to scoot over close. Put my arm around her and kind of pat her on the shoulder. And I'm going to say something to you, Turkey. You ever stick a rule between me and Mama and tell her to scoot over, I'll bust your jaw. Don't you pull that stuff on me. I don't believe the church ought to turn into a necking party. I believe there ought to be that decency maintained. But most of you men, I say most of you, a great number of you that are married, remember a day when you was courting your wife in church. And it was a blessing to sit by the side of your wife or your girlfriend in church and act like decent ladies and gentlemen. Amen? 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 Thank God for a man that'll find his wife in church. Don't you put no rule between me and Matweedy. I'll knock a knot on your head. You'll have to climb a ladder to scratch, boy. Now, you girls may know, I don't know, I'm not this good on shoes, but what is that? It's a pair of, it's high heels, but there's one shoe that you girls wear that don't have no straps around the back of them. What is that? It's not flip-flops. Huh? I don't know what you call it. But they don't have no strap here. They just slide downhill in that little toe thing. I don't actually see how you wear them, but if you like them, that's I know where deacons stand out on the porch and look, they're supposed to be looking at your feet.
And if they catch you with no straps around the back of your hip, well, we're sorry you can't go in today. Oh, how far we're going to go, folks. How far in the name of God are we going to go? Can you see a doctor walk into his office with a bunch of sick folks there and tell them to get out because they're sick? All I want in here is well people. I don't want no sick folks in here. That's crazy, folks. Now, well, let me get over and get my gun loaded before I start on this. Amen. I believe we'll find it right along in here somewhere. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is good right here. My mustache has been the biggest blessing to preachers of anything that's happened for years. Honestly. It has really been a help to preachers. And you're wondering how. They've searched the scriptures trying to find something wrong with it and can't. I was down the, I believe in Alabama or Texas somewhere, and I'd groomed my mustache. I've had it for a long time. And I was standing there and honest before God, folks. I'm telling the truth. The ugliest woman I've ever saw in my life. Honest. I'm telling the truth, folks. Honest. That woman is, they say beauty is skin deep, but ugly goes all the way to the bone. That old girl, I'm talking about ugly, son. I honest, it was pitiful. But she walked up to me and saw me and looked at my mustache and said, "Ew, I wouldn't want to kiss you here." I said, "Thank God." They're just some sacrifices I won't make. Two little old boys walked up to me, and one of them said, "Preacher, what you growing a mustache for?" I said, "To cover up ugly." One of them spoke up and said, "It ain't working." Great, big old obese, stout, oh, she just fat. Fat lady walked up to me, she must have weighed 500 pounds. Called everybody in the crowd, you know, and said, "Hey, preacher, look like you swallowed a mule and left the tail sticking out." See, she's going, she's going to get one on the preacher. I let it get real quiet, and I said, "Honey, looks to me like you swallowed the whole meal." More water. Trying to keep this old throat cool down. Now, let me listen to me. Listen, don't you sit there and act like you've got some corner on your own little opinion. I challenge you tonight. I'm laying a challenge in front of you. If you're such a hot shot and you know everything, well, just come on up and let's take care of this right now. "Well, you said a mustache and a beard is wrong. Prove it." Now, you listen. And you better not jump up at me. I've got my gun loaded right here. Jesus Christ, God's Son, had a beard. I don't believe he was a long-haired hippie, but he had a beard. You said, can you prove that? I thought you'd never ask. In Isaiah 50 and verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. One stupid, dummy preacher said he believed that they took a magnifying glass and held on his face and used tweezers to pluck the hair out. That fellow was crippled too high for crutches. The Bible said that Aaron had a beard. David's men went out one time, and on the way back home, they was captured, and they shaved off their beard. And they were embarrassed and sent word in what had happened, and David gave them permission to stay out till their beard grown back. Amen. Now, I don't have a beard. I have a mustache. You say, why don't you grow a beard? Well, I'd look like a pig in a parachute. Amen. I mean, they look good on some men. There's just so much you can do to a fellow like me. Amen. Wouldn't hurt some of you. As the little boy said, it ain't working, though. Amen. Wouldn't hurt some of you. As the little boy said, it ain't working though, amen. But folks, don't jump on something just because somebody else says it. And don't make it necessarily right. Sir, I like your beard. I really do. I think it looks very attractive. I really do. And there's men that looks good here.
Well, you said, buddy, I want to be pleasing the Lord. I'm going to shave every morning.
Go ahead. But if you grow a beard down to your ankles, it's not going to offend God. Your wife may not give you any more sugar, but here comes another preacher, and I saw his name in some of your Bibles, too. You know what his big thing is he preaches on? And if you hear him much, you'll hear him preach on it. Against preachers putting on aftershave lotion. I use right guard and left guard. And I've shook hands with a few of you. I thought it'd help you too. Amen. It's a little can, brown, and you go, psh. This same preacher preaches a great deal on hairspray. Now, I don't comb my hair anymore. I arrange it. Now, you want to say, Brother Boo, why are you sharing these things with us? To show you how silly we've got. Trying to make an impression. Trying to say, now listen to me, Dr. John McCormick, anybody know him? John's a great Bible teacher. Isn't he, brother? I mean, I believe one of America's best. The man had him canceled, had him in a revival, had him booked for a meeting. And John had grown a mustache, and he canceled it. And I didn't know he had done it. I didn't know this preacher had done it. And I happened to be there at that meeting, and they asked me to preach.
And this same preacher that canceled him was sitting over on the preacher's seat. And I just happened to walk over to him and didn't know what had happened. Honest, I didn't. I didn't know that you canceled John. And I didn't know a thing about it. And this preacher was sitting there. And I said to him, looking him right in the face, and the crowd, I thought, was going to crowd the building then. I said, "Why, preacher, there's a church that won't let you preach because you got wire rim glasses. They'd cancel you." And I didn't know anything about him canceling John because of the mustache. He canceled me that same night. Amen. Now, I'm coming to the end of the message. I know of a church where they won't, and girls, I don't know a great deal. There's a skirt that you girls wear that you just wrap around. It's got a little bell of a thing. I guess they call it a wraparound skirt, right? That's why I got one right. I know of a church where they won't let you wear those. Won't let you wear them. Call it carnal, worldly. Let me go back again before I bring the message to a close. I'm tired tonight, physically exhausted. I'm beginning to feel very old sometimes. My race will soon be run. You're going home. Young preachers, let me help you. Don't try to impress people. Don't get your little hobby horse and start riding it. Don't do that. One of these days you'll look back on it and regret it. But ask God to give you weeping eyes like Jeremiah. You say, "You ought to preach love all the time." Well, I believe there's time. You know, preachers, I said the other night, there's two ways to use a sword. It's got a cutting edge on it. You can use it that way. Or you can turn it over sideways and beat the sheep to death with it. Now, sheep must be sheared at least once a year. But they must be fed every day. Amen? Forgive me about this old throat. I've just got to try to keep it cool down. It's burning. I've tried to preach a message to you that's got me in a lot of trouble. I'm still in pretty good standing with God. Now, I'm about to say something that I saw this happen after I said this. Now, folks, I'm not trying to be a martyr. Preachers, don't preach something just to get preachers to agree with you. And I don't care if every one of them will disagree with you. God gives it to you preaching. Don't try to stay in favor with a clique. Don't do that. But just don't try to be different because you'll be as bad as they are. Amen? You just go ahead and do what God. Now, I'm about to say something. Are you listening? One of the last places I preached this message at, I said it, and it actually happened. It'll probably happen here tonight. I don't know. But if you're so deeply offended at what I've uncovered tonight, and you've given something in this offering, I want it to be left alone until our service is over. If you want your offering back, you can have it. You can have it. You're welcome to it. But I'm going to finish my course by the help of God, by the grace of God, not conforming to the ideas of man. The Bible said it's better to obey God than it is to obey man. Now, whether you like me or not, that's your own hang-up. I've got no problem with it. I love you. But I ask for preachers to come tonight, and I hope all you others to come. Girls, listen to me. If you just quit one of your bad habits because the preacher said he didn't want you to do it, and you don't never done it because you love God with all your heart, it's not worth a dime. It's not worth a single dime in the world. See, you're just doing it for man. Fellas, if you just quit your cigarettes because the church preached on them or the preacher, and you just done it to satisfy them, well, you ain't a bit better off. Now, I wish every one of you quit smoking, but it's killing you. But see, the thing we ought to do, what we do, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
That's what ought to be your yardstick on what is right and wrong. Amen? Now, if you want your offering back tonight, you help yourself. I'm not going to stop you, and I don't want nobody else to stop you. But I've actually had them to come and do it. And I've had them say without any embarrassment, I got mine back. I got mine back. Now, you're welcome. But I'll not change the message I preach. She'll stand right there. If you're my enemy, it's your problem, not mine. I love you. But I'm not going to try to fit into your little religious mold. Can I go just a little bit further? I'm not saying asking him to let me preach, but I just don't want to take up time. I want to be in subjection to this pastor. But let me say this to you now. We've got hobby horses we ride. I mean this. Now listen to me. Are you listening? Shake your little pointed head, Joe. I am a fundamental, not funny mentally, I'm a fundamental, independent Baptist preacher. But now, whoa, hold it. Be careful now. I got some more saying. You're already hollering amen. I book meetings. I'm booked now for the next 3 to 4 years, something like that. Don't remember. And I'd had a meeting booked for 2 years in Ohio. I went to Ohio, got there in the evening, went to the church, never saw those signs, never met the pastor. He'd heard some tapes. Went in the church, and I never felt the power of God in your reader in my life. Saints was on fire and tears and welcome and kindness. And I preached that night, and you talk about liberty. I mean, they backed me up to the hilt. People got saved. And one of the men come around after service said, what do you think about these Methodists? I said, was there some Methodists here tonight? Why, he said, this is a Methodist church. You said, did you cancel and go home? No, I had a lob lolly right there. I stayed with it. God gave us a great revival. I got a call one night late, and a preacher said, will you come and preach for us? We arrived at a date. He said, now let me tell you what I am and what we are, and you may not want to come. I said, well, okay, what are you? He said, I pastor the First Lutheran Church. Oh, I said, I'm so sorry, brother, I don't have any Lutheran messages. But I said, while I'm at it, I don't have any Baptist messages either. Amen. Huh? Amen. You're not supposed to have any Baptist messages. You're supposed to have Bible messages. Amen. Amen? And I went with them down there, and oh, it tickled me to death. They start you. First night, one or two of them said, amen. They had robes on in the choir. One of the nights, the last night, one old fella got happy in the choir and started running down through there. His robes to flopping. Amen. Now listen to me. Are you listening? I've done told you what I am, and I stand on those convictions. Years ago, I said, Lord, where you open the door, I'll go through it. You ask me to pray about a meeting, I will not do it. I prayed way back yonder, Lord, you where you want me to open it, where you don't want me to close it. There ain't no use aggravating him no more about it. If the Pope calls tonight and invites me, I'll be on my way. Of course, I ain't going to hold my breath till he does. You ready? I've been getting you ready for this. Some of you are bitter. Some of you think you've got a corner on God. I preach a lot of revivals in Southern Baptist churches. You said, do you go in there and try to trim them up and tell them how bad they are and how good you are? No, sir. I preach the same book in there. And you better get off of your bitter horse. If you're an independent, and you're an independent because you love the Lord Jesus so much for you. But if you're a Southern Baptist, have the same spirit about you, but get that bitterness out of you. Because, folks, we're going to live in heaven together. And don't go around popping off. Well, ask God these old Southern Baptists. There's some of the sorry independents that I've ever saw in my life.
I mean sorry as Karen. If I was a buzzard, I wouldn't puke on him. They're sorry. We ain't got no rocks to throw at them. We're just sorry as they are, amen? And then they're out up on the race, they're sorry as we are, amen? Ain't none of us good. Now remember, you can still have your offering back. It's all right. Now I know tonight I'm going to bring the message, and I've brought it. I brought it to help everybody. I hope I've helped some young preachers. I really do. I really hope I've helped you. Don't try to put notches on your gun and show how rough you are and how tough you are and how much of a super saint you are. Get your Bible down tonight and say, Lord, help me to preach it with love and compassion. Amen. Now then, I want her to come to the piano. Mad at me tonight, girl? I don't mad at me. Tickle that death on that. That's my buddy going there. I've had folks throw songbooks at me. Been tucked to Supreme Court. I've been accused of everything except stealing a nigger baby and painting it white. And I caught myself looking at one of them little rascals the other day. In front of a paint store. You can't tell nothing new on me. I had a church not too long ago, and I just laugh at them. They slip around spying my motel to see if I'm out shacking up with somebody. Go ahead and lose sleep if you want to, you low-down hound. Ain't you something? Lord God. Jamie, Jamie, Jamie. Ain't that a kick in the head? If you want it back and are brave enough to take it, I'll pass it back to you. Raise your hand. Go on. But when you do, honey, they're going to pick you out for what you are. And some of you want to, but just ain't brave enough to. We'll turn the lights off after a while, let you go and slip it out. Be real, folks. Don't put on to suit nobody. Just be real. That your boy there? That your boy there? You like baseball, yeah? That boy there, he like baseball? I bet he's going to be a good first baseman. Let him be a boy. Let him be a boy. Don't try to raise him to suit somebody else better. You raise him because you love the Lord and want to raise him right, but let him be a boy. Amen? Take him fishing. Play with him and love him. Am I telling the truth? Amen. Is that right, honey? You can push them in your little religious mold, but you'll lose them one of these days. I know some preachers that's made them walk the chalk, and they made them do it, wouldn't let them do nothing, and now they're grown and married, and they've done lost them. They've lost them. Honey, you better play something soft. They're going to attack me. You say, what kind of altar call are you going to make? I'm just going to give you a chance to come. Preacher, are you on one of your rough sides and you want to make everybody think how tough you are? Why don't you ask God to break your heart? Ask God to break it and make you what you ought to be.